services rendered. And then we would recover in July 1st of next year 25%. We'd go to 25% cost recovery and 25% each of the ensuing 3 years. So in other words, we're spreading it out over 4 years, but for the 17% charge in February to recover, in essence, what is owed to us for stormwater management. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dean Marriott, the director, and Jim Hagerman, the business services manager for Bureau of Environmental Services, for a short PowerPoint.
Yes, thank you very much, Commissioner. Dean Marriott, Environmental Services. In lieu of the fact that we're running late and we do have people here, I'm going to just pass it off to Jim Hagerman. Jim has been personally involved in a lot of the outreach and communications, has a short number of slides that he can run through very quickly to summarize what Commissioner Saltzman just highlighted.
Thank you, Dean. Jim Hagerman, Bureau of Environmental Services. The proposal, as Commissioner Saltzman said, is to bill directly in the drainage districts for stormwater services, to replace the expired intergovernmental agreement, and to phase it in multiple steps. A little bit of background here. You can see the light green area at near the top of the slide. Those are the three drainage districts. Peninsula Drainage District number one on the left, number two in the middle, and then Multnomah County Drainage District number three. Brief history of the relationship. The districts were formed in 1917 by property owners to manage Columbia River floodplain and local stormwater runoff from properties in the area. Prior to 2000, the city did bill directly for stormwater services in the districts, with exemptions for those discharging directly to the SLU. So some were billed, some were not. As part of rate reform in 2000, it was decided that we would pursue an intergovernmental agreement that would kind of unify the billing structure, and we'd bill on a wholesale basis rather than a retail basis. Negotiations to renew the contract in 2005 and to layer on a new 10-year agreement broke down. They were not successful, and so the city, as the commission noted, notified the districts in 2006 of the impending expiration. Again, in brief, the city builds, operates, and maintains stormwater pipes and water quality facilities, many of which are in the districts, treats stormwater runoff from public rights of way, does water quality analysis and monitoring, and source control activities as well. The components, very briefly again, 35% of the stormwater charge is considered on-site cost, recovers costs of dealing with flows off of individual sites. The remaining 65% is right-of-way, stormwater management, water quality, regulatory requirements, and that's not discounted. Again, we'd resume billing directly, and we would sign an agreement with the districts to contribute an equitable share to their costs of managing stormwater. The public involvement for this began in January 2012. We met with members of the Columbia Corridor Association Board in January. Have had three meetings with the Bridgeton and East Portland Neighborhood Associations, one in January, two in July. Attended two meetings with representatives of the Port of Portland and commercial airlines representatives and Air National Guard representatives. Two mailings to property owners and account holders, one on June 19th, one August 9th. Coordinated two public meetings in June for district residents and businesses, and on an ongoing basis have briefed the Portland Utilities Review Board. In addition, the Bureau's Budget Advisory Committee also recommended pursuing this course of action in January.
So, can you move the mic a little closer?
Sure. Mike. Okay. So some details about rate impacts. As Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, 17% of the off-site stormwater charge starting February 1, 2013 would affect approximately 690 commercial accounts and 685 residential accounts. Roughly citywide, there are about 180,000 combined commercial and residential accounts. Starting July 1, this would go to 25% and then adjustments to 50, 75, and then in June, or July rather, 2016, 100%. The impact would be to a single family residential customer beginning February 1, $2.64 per month. And for commercial customers in the districts, it would be $1.17 per 1,000 square feet of impervious area per month. That is all I have.
Commissioner Fish?
Oh, actually, I should move the substitute. at this point.
Can I have your attention, please? The situation has been resolved. Please resume your activities.
Okay, I would like to move the substitute that reflects the cost recovery as outlined by my opening points and in the PowerPoint.
Second. The moved and seconded. Discussion.
We can take testimony or discussion.
So I may offer an amendment to the substitute, but first, Mayor, if I could just pose a couple questions to the director. First of all, I want to thank Dan and the director for a number of changes that have been made in this ordinance, and particularly the four-year phase-in with 25, 50, 75, and 100 over that four-year period on a fiscal year basis. And for a number of reasons, I think that's both fair and appropriate. The concern that I still have has to do with the February payment. In two respects. One is, let's take the example of the Portland International Raceway, PIR, which is in this district. We've already done our budgeting for the fiscal year, and this was not a cost that was budgeted. And there are other entities in this drainage district for whom this is not a budgeted cost as of February. That's why I like very much the fact that you're proposing that the four-year phase-in start on the fiscal year, so starting July of next year, 25%, 50, 7,500. But the other concern I have is that it appears that people are being double-billed under this proposal. And unless I'm misunderstanding this, this is a charge which public and private entities have already paid to the drainage district and are now being asked to pay to BES in February, which in effect is a double payment. So that doesn't seem equitable. I think I understand from your point of view why it would be appropriate since you've got a hole in your budget. But
Commissioner, let me be clear. It's not double billing. They're not paying what the rest of us are paying now. I agree that they're paying to the drainage district, but they're not paying anything for their offsite drainage costs as any of the rest of you when you pay your stormwater charges, are paying an on-site portion unless you have the discount, but you are paying for off-site drainage. Right now, for this fiscal year, we will stand to receive no payments to assist with the management of the stormwater utility for off-site stormwater. So what's happening is if we don't send this bill out to people directly, then the city stormwater utility is receiving no payment for any off-site stormwater costs associated with the properties located in the district.
I know this is a complicated subject, and so bear with me. What then have the property owners paid already for this fiscal year?
They will have paid the assessment from the district, and which goes to cover the cost of operating the district.
Right, and had you been successful in renegotiating and extending an IGA with the district, would any of that money have come to BES?
That was the whole point of the renegotiation, which is why it broke down. We were requesting that they pay more of a fair share to the actual cost of the city running a stormwater utility, which they declined to do.
Okay. So to what extent is there a duplicative payment then? If you add up the 17%,
let me take a stab at this.
The payments that have been made to the district, Danish District, what's the cumulative burden for that year for property owners in the district?
Well, let me take a stab at it. Mm-hmm. So drainage district businesses and residents have been assessed by the drainage district a stormwater management fee. I am assuming they assessed that effective July 1st of 2012 and have then hence collected that $670,000 or so dollars. Now that $670,000 should have then been paid to the Bureau of Environmental Services, but has not been paid. And so what we're proposing is to recover what is owed us. And to the extent maybe there's double billing, then I think the customers in the drainage district are entitled to a credit from the drainage district for what's been collected for them but is not being paid.
But is anyone from the drainage district here?
guess let me just, Mayor, I'll just frame the question and we can come back to it. But it I understand from BES's point of view, they feel that money should come to them, and they have to make up for the money that didn't transfer over, so they're looking to the ratepayer. But hasn't the ratepayer already paid to the drainage district for what you are charging in February? And is it the ratepayer's obligation to seek a credit for the drainage district, or is it does the city have some card they can play so that charge is not incurred?
As of this year, that's a drainage district resource. It's not a city resource, and so it would be up to the drainage district to say to, I suppose, voluntarily pass it through or to rebate it or to not
so
collect it.
As a matter of customer convenience, will you do that?
Mayor Adams,
please introduce yourself.
My name is Reed Wagner. I'm the executive director of the Drainage District as of 7 weeks ago. So I also have my deputy director here who can share more technical and long-term knowledge of the district. But what we can do is suggest to our boards that this payment was made to the city and that they have the opportunity through their budgeting process to rebate the customers of the district.
Would it be easier to rebate the customers or to just send the payment on to us and not have the customers go through all that rebating process?
I believe it'd be easier to send the bill on to you and for us not to have the customers have to deal with that rebate.
So you're prepared to make the payment that was due July 1st of this year to the
city? So what we would do through a budgeting process and talking to our boards would find a way to finalize the payment that was due this year to the city, and that way not have to go through the rebating process with the customers.
By no later than February, which is when we're planning to recover?
That I will have to check. It's not something that we've discussed in complete with our finance team.
But we can hold this over.
But I will tell you that
always revisit it.
I really appreciate the mayor calling you forward, and I appreciate you making the offer. However this gets worked out, whether BES works with you directly or the money goes back to the customer or there's a credit or whatever, it's just my interest that with all the changes that Commissioner Saltzman has made to make this fairer and phase it in, I think this piece has to be resolved in order to be fair to the ratepayers. Otherwise, I think in plain English, they're being asked to double pay because of a dispute which you two parties have, and I don't think that's fair to the ratepayers.
Well, I think we can, I would say that we consider the ordinance as is, the substitute I offered. We have a week until the second reading. We can either get clear definition or we can give the drainage district up until as late as January of 2013, and if they do pay the money that's owed us, we can pass another ordinance that suspends the 17% collection in February. So I would say there's plenty of time to deal with that, but I would argue that we shouldn't take it out of the ordinance now because, frankly, nobody likes to pay stormwater bills. But everybody else in the city is paying their share, and we believe residents and businesses in the drainage district should be paying what everybody else is paying for stormwater management.
So, yes, sir.
If I may, my name is Dave Hendricks, Deputy Director of Multnomah County Drainage District, and I'd like to concur with Commissioner Fish. I mean, with the original IGA, the 680 or whatever number it is for the year, with the original IGA, the payments were due in two invoices, one in January, one in June 30th of July. And that bill from June 30th never gets to us until after July, so we've already made one payment this year for last fiscal year. And so the next payment would come, half that payment would come in January, the other half would come in June. But if you start billing on February of this year, then they are being double billed.
That's
because we're going to pay you the full amount, and then you're going to bill them for those extra months, so they get double billed. So
That's
we shouldn't pay you a full amount. We should only pay you a reduced amount to the city if you're going to start charging on February or start charging on July to make it equitable for the landowners.
So what is that reduced amount in your opinion?
It would be by how many months? One third, one fourth, whatever it is for the, March, April, May, and June, four months, four twelfths of the amount.
I'd like to have Jim respond to that?
Thanks. I think there's feedback. I think that what Commissioner Fish was talking about was, say, not doing the billing at all for this year and then passing through the full amount. And I believe that what you're saying is if the billing starts on February, then it would not be the full amount passed through.
Right. So,
yeah, okay.
I would suggest, I think you get the spirit, the legislative intent of our comments.
Right.
Whatever works best for the customers works best for all involved. I think that's, I don't know that we need to, I don't know that we're in the best position to figure that out.
I would suggest, you know, again, we have a week till the second reading. If there is a different percentage recovery that should be plugged in for February of 2013, we'll plug it in. But they will figure it out, and they will have information to us by next Wednesday.
And if I can just restate my legislative intent, my preference, I'm just one vote, would be that you work out that arrangement so that there is, in fact, no billing for anyone in the drainage district until the next fiscal year. So however you work out the dollars, that the billing starts with the new fiscal year.
Mayor, Commissioners.
I want to be clear, that's not my intent, but that's Commissioner Fish's intent.
Director Reagan, I'm going to take a sense of counsel on that little issue so that we can try to clear it up, or if they don't have. Do customers have a preference, bill sooner, bill later, from the city? July 1st, no bubble billing. Who said never?
We're already paying for it.
No. Oh, we're going to have fun when you come up here.
Well, and
we've had these arguments with East Portland for decades. Anyway, we'll let you have your chance. I promise. Council, do you have any thoughts on? So it sounds like July 1st, but why don't we take that week you talked about, Commissioner Saltzman, and see if there's some fatal flaw in that, some convincing fatal flaw. Is that all right? May I ask a question while you're all up here, and that has to do with the levies? What happens to the levies in terms of responsibility?
Certification of levies.
Yeah, the certification is coming up. I think our collective concern is some of these levies are quite old. I wouldn't be surprised if, because of what's happened in other parts of the nation, that we might have to make some improvements to them. I just want to air this out and make sure that there's some council discussion about the levies.
Mayor, Commissioners, we've, for the past many decades, the Drainage District residents have owned the responsibility of maintaining the levees that were built by the Corps of Engineers. The Corps standards since Katrina have changed dramatically, and we are trying to manage into those change in standards. And they're not just substantial differences financially, but also the impact to the communities. That has to do with trees and tree removal and development removal, utilities, these types of things that I think it's very important that we have a conversation amongst our community, not just in the drainage districts themselves, about the values of our community, how we meet protective standards for our community, and how we do so that meets the values of the city, of the region, and the state. So this is going to be a very large conversation, a very important conversation we have over the next 6 months, and then again 18 months to decide whether we meet the standards of a certain federal agency or meet the standards that will protect our residents in the right type of way. So.
What's your point of view on the levies, Director Marriott?
Well, I think you put it well. It's a topic that traditionally has been in the venue of the drainage districts. So I know with Commissioner Saltzman, we've already talked about how to have a wider discussion about this. We've involved the staff of government relations to reach out to federal agencies and potentially to the delegation to look at this. This potentially has a very big price tag to it and could change the relationship as far as no longer being just a drainage district responsibility. So it's a conversation that I think is going to have to include a lot of participants.
And this really speaks to a preview of the conversation with the gentlewoman in the back row, and that is, well, one city and different parts of town. Well, one city, we're one sewer system, even though the sewer system is different in different parts of town. The discussion, if you're going to hold out that you're not part of the big pipe, shouldn't pay part of the big pipe, then you also have to sort of, in my personal opinion, have to keep the levies within the financial responsibility of your neighborhood. And I'd be careful if I were you to ask for that deal. But I look forward to you coming up here and testifying. Thank you all very much.
So I just want to say before we leave the issue of February, and we haven't voted on an amendment,
right?
I do want to say that I want to keep the substitute intact until the second reading, and we can amend it next week if that's the will of the council. But, you know, my concern is, you know, we had a very long and I think decisive decision today about the Mount Tabor Reservoir, and, you know, it's important to kind of move on. If we postpone everything until July 1st of next year, we're going to have at least two new members of council here. And the opportunity, this is complicated stuff, there's an opportunity to sort of, you know, confuse and ask for delays in perpetuity. And it's just too easy. So I think we sort of need to start getting a stormwater bill in the district residents' and businesses' hands. And that's why I would advocate, I'm not ready to concede, we shouldn't start something this year. We'll find out what the amount fair percentage recovery is for February that doesn't double bill, but I don't want to concede that point until at least next week.
So I very much respect your position on this, Commissioner Saltzman, and all the progress you've made. But because, among other things, the public entities have already billed on a fiscal year and have not built this in, my preference would be that we at least take up the amendment and see what the will of the council is. My guess is that if the council decides that we're going to stick to a fiscal year billing, it adds additional incentive to work this out the next week so that everyone is taken care of. So with all due respect, I'd like to move an amendment that we begin billing in July on a fiscal year basis and not do an interim billing in February.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Carl, would you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, I just said putting it off till the next fiscal year, I think risks sort of putting it off in perpetuity. And sort of we took decisive actions this morning on issues around the Water Bureau. I think we need to take a decisive action today around the Bureau of Environmental Services and its collection of the true cost of stormwater charges, which if they're not paying the true cost of stormwater charges, everybody else in the city is picking up that charge. I think we can figure out by next week what the fair percentage recovery is in January that doesn't double bill. And I would advocate that we get on with the task and start in February. So I vote no.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. All right. How many people have signed up to testify?
We have 15 people.
Okay, well, you kind of got what you wanted, and we've been, I've not done yet. We got what, you've got what you wanted, and we've been in these seats all day long. So if you're here to testify for the billing issue, no double count, I'd ask that if you can forego your testimony, that's great. If you have other issues that you want to raise as part of this overall issue, that would be great. Thank you all. If you signed but testify, to be clear, you can testify, but I'm trying to get folks out of here because we've got evening meetings. But again, if you want to testify and tell us why the billing is what it is, great. The council has made a decision. We're going to bill on the fiscal year. Our bills will start on the fiscal year. So let's take testimony. I'm going to start with a minute.
The first four are Ann Davidson, Matthew Rothford, Mike Wells, and Mary Helen Kincaid.
Yep. 15. Okay. If you need more time, let me know, but try to keep it to a minimum. Hi, would you like to begin?
Sure. Just let me make sure before I say I don't want to testify that I understand what happened.
City and the Drainage District are going to negotiate how they get the money that we've already paid through property taxes, and the Drainage District ratepayers won't begin being billed until July 1st.
Correct.
Okay.
And if they don't, this ordinance could be, this ordinance stays on the agenda the way it is, and so folks have an incentive. You have an incentive to contact your Drainage District that they follow through, the board follows through on what is right now I call a handshake agreement. Their board obviously has to agree with what we've just suggested.
So when the second reading happens next week, can it change?
Yes.
Okay.
But this council has also expressed this legislative intent to do exactly as you said. But we do need to get some signals from the Drainage District that they're willing to go along with that.
Well, I think we just amended the ordinance so that there's no February 2013 recovery. Right. That instead, starting July 1st,
that's what
we'll
said.
Start recovering 25%.
Right, I understand that, but okay. Next week, could you decide to go back to February 1st?
Well, and you would
I guess that's my...
Well, and you would expect us
just
to...
just saw a 4-1 vote.
Okay. I don't know these things.
Usually consistent for at least a week.
If the Drainage District Board... in an informal headcount of the Drainage District Board by staff gets a sense that they're not going to agree to this, then yes, the deal's off.
Okay.
But if they agree to it, you're going to get not going to get bills from us until July of next year.
Okay. Then I support that because that was one of the big pieces of it. The other big piece that I had was about community outreach, and I want to take public involvement in this because many, many people didn't understand what was going on. And the public meetings that they talked about were all arranged by neighborhood leaders. The one in January was at Kenton Firehouse that Leslie Sawyer from Bridgeton and I organized and asked BS and Multnomah County Drainage to be there. And then we were promised two public meetings. We didn't get notice until June. The notice was mailed June 19th for a June 26th and June 27th meeting, so most people only got it a day or two before the public meeting. Am I out?
So
my point is when this begins, just some sort of direction or a wish that they work with the neighborhood so that, and I think I used the terms with Commissioner Saltzman the other day, the switchboards don't light up, and we don't, because the neighborhood boards are the ones that get a lot of grief at neighborhood meetings about this, like, why did you do this? If we can do them ahead of time and keep people informed, I think it would be easier for the city, because I really, my whole intent in all of this was to make sure that this was done right and that the city got all their facts and figures, and the 685 residents that they talk about, there's 1,700 single-family residents in East Columbia, so I'm not so sure you got everybody on the books.
But we need to do a better job of outreach and information.
If you only let 685 know, and there's 1,700, there's some discrepancies there.
We will redouble our efforts.
And thank you very much for listening to all of this, because I know it's taken me months to figure this out. I don't think I have it yet.
I think the levy issue is a big, big
issue.
That
will be a big issue, and there are other people that are going to speak to that, so I won't take up the time.
Sir, hi.
Hi, I'm Mike Wells. I'm managing director of CBRE, the local office for the largest commercial real estate company in the world. I'm also on the board of supervisors for Multnomah County Drainage District on behalf of Pacific Northwest Properties that owns a number of buildings in the area, and this impact at 100% would equal about $100,000 to our tenants, so it's of some significance. That being said, I am in favor of the motion as it has been amended.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir?
Great. My name is Matthew Rochford. I'm the director of the Portland Expo Center, mm-hmm. and also wearing another hat as Metro's representative on Peninsula One Drainage District. The Expo is home to a number of consumer events, the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show, the Antique Show, and most recently the Cirque du Soleil. The proposed increases of stormwater fees for the various drainage districts, and specifically the Expo Center, are substantial and could eventually reach close to $150,000 a year to our estimate. Our facility is fully self-supporting, and with these different proposed fees, it really gives a significant impact to our business. So I just wanted to go on record as saying that. I'm encouraged by the motions taking place today. And again, I wanted to echo Commissioner Fish's comments regarding PIR. There's a very symbiotic relationship and partnership between PIR and Expo that makes a number of events take place. And it broadly impacts the port and convention business.
I have to admit that when you say things like that, which I know are on the ground true, but it makes me wonder whether take on the worry that Commissioner Saltzman has is, do you support the compromise that you just heard us talk about?
I'm in support of the July proposed staggered increase.
But do you accept the fact that paying the same amount that the rest of the city is paying, although no one likes to pay more, and it will have difficulty, of course, but are you supportive of that?
I'm not in full support of that due to the different nature of what PENN 1 brings to the city. And again, I just need to be a little more fully informed in terms of all the numbers as to that, how that relates.
So again, I understand that, but again, I worry on your behalf because this is going to look like decimal dust compared to what will likely be required for these levies.
Yeah.
So just, I really need you to let that sink in, and I won't be mayor then.
Well, my concern was just the notification. We had completed our budget. And
we got it. I don't want people to
we just didn't.
I don't want you to repeat yourself. I just want you to understand, if you don't think that paying the full freight, as we define it, and you can argue about that, if you don't think that's fair generally, it means you're going to kind of be taking on probably a lot more expenses when the levy bill comes due. So just keep that in mind. Ma'am, hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Ann Davidson. I'm a
property.
My husband and I own property at 8900 Northeast Vancouver Way, and I'm excited about what I heard today. That helps us a lot, because this rate increase would have been a 400% increase in our bill. And I do support the fact that it takes a whole village to maintain a stormwater system. We are on a private stormwater sewer, but we are in a low area. Our building is in a low area, and we are impacted greatly by what happens around our property. In 2005, we bought the building in 2001, and we had no problems with anything until 2005, when there was a huge Federal Express property built and some other things that happened, and we now have a nightmare every time it rains. And what happens is the runoff comes down into our storm sewer, it's overwhelmed, and our building floods. I have a machine shop in my building that I own, and we have hundreds of machines on the floor. So I just want to talk about the fact that other things that happen around the area affect property owners, and I hope you take that into account when you look at who's paying what, because I'm a full believer in paying my full share, but the things that I have to pay for, because it's my private stormwater sewer, are greatly affected by what happens around my building.
Again, free advice from the former sewer commissioner, I'd start talking to BES.
About?
Problem solving for your issues.
Okay, because we've been to the drainage district and their answer was, you're on your own. So
This is transitioning now. Responsibility for this is transitioning.
Okay.
So, Ann, I just have to ask, you must have a twin sister.
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
Is she a judge?
Yes.
I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's beautiful, right?
I was so shocked when you introduced yourself. I thought, yeah.
I'll have to meet her.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Brilliant.
And brilliant.
Yes.
And brilliant.
Yes.
Thank you all very much. Next four.
Thanks.
Are Kathy Humble, Val Humble, Dick Schaefer, and Beth Cohen.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Glad you're here. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead and begin.
My name is Kathy Humble. My husband and I have lived in the East Columbia neighborhood for 34 years. As part of our property tax, we now pay a $472 fee that supports our drainage district. The proposed Environmental Services off-site stormwater charge would eventually cost us about $186 per year in addition to that. We have broader concerns than specific dates for starting an off-site charge. Yes, our drainage district uses our fee to handle stormwater via ditches and pumping stations, but much of this drainage district fee covers protection of 35 miles of levee systems crucial to the safety of I-5 and I-205, Portland International Airport, the well fields that back up the Bull Run water supply. Currently, residents in other parts of Portland do not pay through their water bills or property taxes for this protection. And although the levees are so vital to the whole city's infrastructure, by a legal quirk, we're told the cost of maintaining them cannot be considered in the water bill rate-setting process. It's been proposed that the city pay the drainage districts for these crucial services. However, that amount has not been settled, and the drainage districts are still analyzing the relevant costs. And there is simply no assurance that the drainage district would pass along any of this to residents as a reimbursement or reduced property tax amount. Nevertheless, the addition of direct off-site charges for drainage district residents is gung-ho to get underway. In the interest of fairness and equity, we ask that Portland residents who do not live in the drainage districts share the real-world total cost, the full freight, as the mayor said, of managing stormwater and protecting the Columbia floodplain. We ask that any change in rates be tabled until the drainage district cost data is available and a cost-sharing agreement with the city is final. And we ask that city officials give affected residents adequate notice on all parts of this process. Thank you for your consideration.
Thanks. I think you're going to be in a better negotiating position if you're paying the same amount of off-site stormwater charges that everyone else in the city is. I think you're in a stronger position to have a citywide discussion on the levies. It's not guaranteed, but I would say that puts you in a stronger position. Since we don't know the potential cost of whatever the levy improvements might be, it's not really possible to do what you ask, but I appreciate your point. Hi.
My name is Val Humble. I just want to take a moment to focus us on the big picture. It looks like now we're changing from an old philosophy where if water fell on your property or backed up in your backyard, you were financially responsible for removing it, and we're now accepting that all citizens of this city benefit from cleaning up all of the city. So that's a change in philosophy and certainly a defensible way of looking at it, that we're all responsible for part of the disposal of water throughout the city. Given that we are making this change, we do need to recognize, as my wife mentioned, that those of us paying for the drainage district have been maintaining and carrying the full weight of benefit to the whole city in protecting the BIR, the expo, the airport more than anything else. So there is this big issue that we have been in the past responsible for. If we're recognizing that the whole city gets benefit from various things throughout the city, then please do recognize this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi.
Hi, my name is Dick Schaefer. I'm a resident in Penn 2. I'm also a Penn 2 supervisor for the last 13 years. I was also on the committee that first negotiated with the city for the intergovernment agreement for parity. It's interesting how things have progressed. Mr. Mayor, I do think your point in if we are paying what other people are paying, it gives us a good stead when we start talking about levy benefit. And my point in being here is to say if parity and equality is where everybody's going, I'm in support of that.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thanks for your service. Hi.
Hi. My name is Beth Cohen. I'm a public policy advocate with Oregon Food Bank, and thanks for the opportunity to testify today. And really, I just want to thank you for your support of the phased approach for the stormwater fee increase. So at Oregon Food Bank, it's really helpful for us to have predictable operating costs and for fee increases to be gradual. It allows us to budget and account for those increases accordingly and really reduces the impact to our mission to eliminate hunger. As a reminder, if we were going to face a fee increase in this fiscal year, we'd basically have to divert funds from budget we use to purchase bulk foods like rice and beans.
So we took care of that. Problem.
Yeah, so I just want to say thanks
so
and remind you.
Don't plow the ground again.
I just want to remind you how important it is to us and the families we serve, and just thank you again. And I just want to close with saying we believe at Oregon Food Bank that addressing hunger requires strong partnerships between the public and private sector, and we want to recognize the City of Portland as a strong partner and a collaborator. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next four.
Are Justin Calloway, Barbara Kerr, Gary Clifford, and Corky Collier.
Remember Liz? Thanks for your patience. Thanks for being here. Go ahead and begin, sir.
Hi, my name is Justin Calloway. Last time I was here, it was for the airport futures, which I think is relevant because to me, there was somebody from the Planning Bureau came out and tried to allay my concerns regarding some of the overlays on my property because I'm adjacent to some industrial properties, and that they then sued and got decoupled, and those overlays don't exist on their property. And I remember this person from the Planning Bureau said to me, hey, I was trying to explain the fact that, you know, my kids would have to walk a mile to get to the bus stop. It's not even covered. They have to walk on a road that's got no sidewalk with trailers. And I remember another Planning Bureau person said, oh, I love having no sidewalks. I live in Southwest. Well, these are kids walking a mile. You're talking about fairness. We're talking about the city of Portland. We're talking about what matters here. This is important to me in a sense that you divided and conquered our neighborhood to get overlays through. You then put wetland delineation across my property that doesn't extend to the neighboring industrial property. That now is somehow increased in value, even though it's got less in development potential. And my big question here is when we talk about fairness, we don't have a neighborhood, we don't have a public structure in our neighborhood proper. We don't that we could go meet at. We have to go to a church. We don't. When I get my tax bill, it's $1,400 before I even start looking at what I pay to the city for the rest of the fairness. So we subsidize that land to exist so that you can have a tax base. That airport and all these properties there, when you want to talk about fairness, like somebody who takes advantage of the BES disconnect things where there's going to be parity, well, I've got now a wetland, and I'm not going to get an additional discount for that. I'm just going to get the I live in a drainage district discount, but you've taken away that development potential. And you also said, hey, industrial properties, you sued us. So we're going to back off. We won't put these overlays on you, but it's okay to this residential property.
What was your name again?
Justin Calloway.
Mr. Calloway, I'm being lenient. You're supposed to testify on the topic at hand. Let me finish.
Yeah.
I'm being lenient and let you giving us some context, but what's your opinion at what's in front of us?
On what's in front of us, my problem is it's you. I've heard you discuss fairness, and I live in, I call it not Portland. It's north. I have a northeast address, and I'm in North Portland, and there's no bike map that can show you how to get to my house, north or northeast.
So my
opinion is that you've discussed fairness.
Yeah.
And this rate and what you're talking about
charges.
Parity. Yeah. So you've got a bureaucracy in BES, and you're telling us that in a drainage district, that we'll be at just as good as the Highland people. We'll be the same as everybody's got all the schools and the sidewalks.
I didn't say that.
No, well, you are. I saw you tell people, hey, you be careful what you ask for with the levies.
Talking about the issue
of levies, and I don't mind paying my fair share. I've got kids in public schools. I pay for it. I'm all for
Mr.
it. I've
Killen,
not seen anybody outside Mr. of Amanda in our
Mr.
neighborhood.
Killen. Mr. Killen. This part of town has only been within the city of Portland as the late 70s. So its development occurred within the county but outside city limits. You mentioned the road, and let me just, roads, especially residential roads, are paid for originally by an assessment on the adjacent property owners when that subdivision occurred within the city of Portland. This part of town, parts of it were urbanized and industrialized outside the city, so those requirements didn't apply. So it's a different conversation when you talk about fairness. I'm going to have to move on. I still don't know if you support this approach or not. The issue of the drainage district, which right now has the responsibility for levees and has had the responsibility for stormwater, are the two things that are before us. We
sure.
can't fix everything that happened over time.
I do understand that.
So my advice to you, my political advice to this neighborhood, I won't be mayor, is take this because it will help you, I think, make the arguments later that there is a citywide benefit for the levies. If you reject this, then there are going to be, it's a stronger argument to say the levies are the problem only of the drainage district. That's just my opinion.
I fully agree with
so the
that,
roads
that,
and everything that. Else are different issues.
Can I just want to say one super quick point? And that's just when we do talk about fairness, this is really key because to me, I believe in paying our fair share, and I completely appreciate the service that you guys do, and it's been an edification thing. The point I wanted to say is to take this fee in isolation is not fair, because we are a separate neighborhood with way different concerns. And yes, I don't mind paying up to the fee of being discounted, you know, with somebody else who can avail themselves to programs that we won't avail ourselves to, because we're just talking about having the drainage district handle those. There's no additional discounts for doing good stormwater management.
I got to move on.
Okay.
You do take advantage, if you, in your drive here, you took advantage of the citywide stormwater fee.
As well as
I just want to tell you, it's the citywide stormwater fee. We run a sewer system and a stormwater system. And unless you only stay in your neighborhood and you grow all your own food and raise all your own crops, you have a benefit from the citywide stormwater fee. Ma'am.
Okay, my name is Barbara Kerr. I live on Paloma Road in Penn 2, and it is East Columbia neighborhood, not East Portland. Thank you.
I was referring to East Portland. We went through this same conversation. I know where you live. Okay. I live in Kenton, or
right,
lived
right.
in Kenton, and so I'm actually, well aware of where you're at.
It wasn't your comment that I was referring to.
It was a typo on the slide.
In the report. It's in the report.
Well, they're fired.
Okay. The stated purpose of the proposed ordinance in raising the stormwater fees charged to the citizens of the drainage district is to create equity. The determination of equity, however, is based on a study that did not include the drainage districts, and there has been no investigation to determine if an equity exists or whether an equity issue would be that the citizens of the drainage districts would owe more or, in fact, are paying more than their share already. We have been told that there is one or some streets in the drainage district where the city provides storm sewers. However, the great majority of us not only manage all of the stormwater on our property, the 35% that we get discounted for, but we also manage all the stormwater from the streets and right-of-ways. Since we have no storm sewers, all of the water flows onto our property. We personally pay 100% of the financial or labor costs of managing it and or the consequences of having it run into our soggy yards. These costs are above and beyond what we pay the drainage district to manage. What the city would pay for maintaining storm sewers in our streets, which we do not have, and the cost of the combined sewer overflow, which we do not and have never drained into, should be deducted from our 65%, since this is a service we do not receive.
Your time is up, ma'am. Is there any final thought?
That the issue has not been examined, and we're not ready to have a proposal because the numbers have not been put together. The drainage district is going to do a study, and city needs to look at the issues that 65% would pay for that we do not receive.
Okay. And what neighborhood do you work in?
East Columbia.
And what neighborhood do you live in?
East Columbia.
What neighborhood do you work in?
East Columbia.
Okay. And do you grow your own food?
We are in the process of starting that, yes. Okay. And I understand that, but what I'm saying is...
We all have to pay for the arterial street stormwaters that you use.
Yes.
Every day in the city. That's
yes.
That's the citywide stormwater.
And I don't think anyone's objecting to that. But the issue is that it's like 65% or nothing. I mean, it's like we have to pay the whole 65% when we're not getting the whole benefit that other people do get.
Well,
and we have not looked at taking that into consideration.
We all pay the same amount.
But you may have, part of the proposal is the Bureau of Environmental Services would start paying the portion of stormwater runoff associated with rights-of-way, public rights-of-way.
To the drainage district.
Yeah.
Right. And for the services that the drainage district provides. But that doesn't pay us for the fact that we don't have storm sewers. I don't want storm sewers in front of my house, but I don't want to pay for storm sewers either. And I think that not having storm sewers means that we manage that issue on our own.
I think you made your point, and I got to move on. Okay. Thank you. Hi, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Clifford. I also live on Paloma Road. I invite you to actually visit our neighborhood, and not just to the airport or whatever, but to explore a bit deeper and find and seek out our exemplary drainage district system of open ditches, waterways, sloughs, levee system, and multiple power pump stations that handle the stormwater. These are not city systems. I've never seen a BES person in our area. They're the only, the actual construction that they've done is adjacent to the airport. There are no storm systems that are city. They are all drainage district systems that are paid for by our taxes directly to the drainage district. And I think it is a failure on the part of Portland's staff not to be able to negotiate a similar intergovernmental agreement that we have been having that recognizes the importance and the amount of money that our taxes they're paying for those levies and all that complete system that is protecting such important infrastructure.
Thank you, sir.
Can I take a crack at this just for one sec?
Please.
I've heard you state it eloquently, but it finally even dawned on me. And I just want to say that whether there's a failure or not, by coming into the broader system, I may end up paying my fair share to address what would have been your levy problem. And on the record, and for the record, I have no objection to that if that is the larger citywide fix. And that's not just a potential dividend. The mayor, I think, has made the point so many times, I would say it's even been made eloquently.
Which is rare.
That it is in effect. There is a benefit here with all this uncertainty about the regulatory impact on levies. This approach is going to, not just arguably, as far as I can tell, shift the burden to all of Portland for this piece. And that is an enormous,
I would take that deal any day,
public benefit to this neighborhood. I mean, but let's leave it.
Thank you. I would hope that the new intergovernmental agreement addresses that. Thank you.
Well, and we have to figure out what's going on with levies. You know, you don't know this necessarily, but we have similar discussions with, you could easily draw a circle around Johnson Creek, which floods a big swath of the city. Why should people in parts of the city that never go to Johnson Creek pay for the measures we are taking to prevent it from flooding and restore its habitat for environmental reasons? It's because we're one city. And, you know, every part of the city sort of has to help every other part of the city, I would be willing to guess, in sort of over a 50-year period.
I think
I got to move on, but
because I think you're bringing up a very good point in terms of fairness and who pays what and what are citywide benefits, like Johnson Creek not flooding, I think is a benefit to all of us. But we've been having this discussion in Southwest Portland for the last 20 years that I've been involved, because we also have ditches and we don't have stormwater facilities, and street construction in Southwest is hugely expensive, largely because we then have to retrofit for stormwater. So I think this is the beginning of a really good discussion about what is really fair throughout Portland. We've had the discussions in East Portland where the drainage is really good. We've started the discussion in Southwest. This is a further issue that's now coming on the table about the levy, which I agree benefits all of us. How do we collectively take care of all of these issues so that everybody has good city services and well-maintained services?
So I'm going to let Corky and if you're not going to go back to issues,
I promise. I just want to just say one thing.
I'm going to have Corky make a few comments first. I can't help what happened in 1950.
Corky Collier, Executive Director of the Columbia Corridor Association. I want to thank all of you for your comments about the levies. That is another discussion coming up soon. We'll be back to that's going to be a hard one to work on. I also want to thank the council on phasing in the implementation of this, not because we want to delay these fees, but because we do have to work them into budgets. These are very significant increases, and budgets are tight, so we have to work that in. And I want to thank you very much for that consideration at that time. It's unfortunate that we're here in the second month of the fiscal year rather than in the 11th month of the fiscal year. And so in summary, thanks.
The only thing is just that I really feel like gets lost here is just that we all pay, before we even pay our taxes and we talk about fairness, I pay $1,400 a year just for the privilege of living underwater is what I call it.
Right.
And nobody else in Portland does that. And that was really what I wanted to say about I feel like it's a highland, lowland conversation we're having here. That's something that's incredibly unique to our neighborhood. So before I even start thinking about all the fairness, and I don't mind paying my fairness to the stormwater, but if we do want to talk about levies, and I asked Dick, I'm like, hey, Dave Hendricks, I was like, are we 500-year flood levies? And I was like, let's talk to the city with that, because I know that that's a we all dance together with the airport. If I want to leave,
so Southwest Portland wasn't annexed till the 50s. That's why its roads are so cruddy. It doesn't have stormwater either. Stormwater system. It has ditches just like yours. You do have the added cost of pumping it out. But I would also back. Just I'm going to get the last word on your
you
road
can
comment.
Have it.
Drive down Lombard, north side of Lombard, everything's crap. South side of Lombard, not as bad, not perfect. And I shouldn't say everything's crap. Much of the street system is in crap. Street system I'm talking about.
Okay.
South of Lombard has been part of the city since 1890. North of Lombard has been since 1970s, 1980s. So there's those are issues where you have not paid for the improvements to your streets.
What the? And
no, I got the last
no,
word.
No, PDC even does a Lombard thing.
You can have the last word. Last, is this our last four?
Two. Arlise Glancy and Walter Valenta.
Carla, while they're coming up, may I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
We are approaching 7 hours of council hearing with perhaps two compassion breaks. We're about done.
Almost consecutive. Can you think of a time in the last 4 years where we've rivaled that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some
easy,
long.
Easy.
Mr. Valenta, do you want to be
Mr.
next
Leonard,
to
the
last
president
or
of the
last?
Council? Is that what you're implying?
Ms. Glancy.
Hi, Lise Glancy, representing the Port of Portland and Portland International Airport and our tenants. And I just want to thank council and their staff for the collective efforts to broker a positive resolution to this issue. We support the phased-in approach. You have our letter with our concerns, so I won't plow that ground again. But I just would say that the four-year phase-in will allow the port to work out the complicated logistics of implementing the direct billing. It's not in our budget. The $4 million is not in our budget. The costs need to be reallocated to airlines and tenants who don't have it in their budget.
But you like what we have to say.
We love what you have
great.
To say.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nobody likes to pay new fees. Yeah. We understand that. Mr. Valenta.
Great. Hi, Walter Valenta, Bridge the Neighborhood, but also on the Penn 2 Levy Supervisory Board now. And because of the last time we went through this certification, the board has been expanded and brought in neighborhood people. So I want to thank Randy and Amanda for the help that they were the last time that we went through this. But thank you for bringing up the other side of the equity question. And with that, I'm a strong advocate of what we're doing and also will be a strong proponent of that we're all in this city together, including with the levies. And some of the stuff we're going to need from the council might just be staff or brains or politics and not just money. Because coming back from Sacramento on the levy symposium, they brought their property owners, their levy districts, their counties, their cities, their legislature at the state level and the federal level. Because as you know from the covering the water terminals, the feds get this one-size-fits-all approach to everything. And they're trying to have that happen with us. So we pull together and work as a levy as a system. You're going to find support as this gets going, too. So we support this, and I personally support the next direction that we need to go, where we recognize that levies belong to all of us. Thank you.
All right. That concludes the hearing. I appreciate we're a bit rummy, so I appreciate you all being good sports about our conversations. We've got a week to figure out. Get some indication from the board. They're independently elected. Get some indication from the board that we can make this happen.
I have a clarification. I still have Commissioner Saltzman's motion for the substitute, seconded by Commissioner Fish.
Okay.
That was not voted on.
So quick vote.
Okay.
On the motion to substitute.
And the substitute as amended.
As amended.
Okay. Right.
Saltzman?
So we're voting on the substitute as amended, right?
As amended.
Okay. So I just want to say that, you know, I think we all have become more sensitive to the fact that the levies are indeed important to the entire city, and I think we need to find, I think just as Walter just said, you know, there may not be, I mean, it could be money, but there's also, you know, the city has good relationships with FEMA and the U.S. Army Corps, so there's other sources of grants, and we have a lot of expertise in our governmental relations department that can help with grants, and I know they've had some conversations, and I think we can make that commitment. That we're going to work with you, you know, maybe on money too, but at least helping you access other sources of money. So thank you, and that I'll vote aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
And to be very clear that my intent in voting for Commissioner Fish's amendment was that the drainage districts and
Environmental Services will have some discussions before their vote about payments for this year from the drainage district rather than from the residents and businesses. But with that, thank you very much for all of your advocacy and the constructive manner in which the issues have been brought forward to all of council. I very much appreciate it. And thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this issue, and BES for your good work. Aye.
Fish?
Commissioner Saltzman's substitute moved the